The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
We just need to have a holy imagination to understand what's the love of Jesus look like in my workplace or in my school.
Next, researcher and author Gabe Lyons uncovers what the next generation of Christians could look like.
I find in the next Christians, or the real Christians, that they have the ability to create in the midst of that, to create ways that people can work towards fighting that injustice.
The Next Christian, coming up on Life Today.
It's always a joy to share with you. Hey, thank you for letting us have this time. I don't think you're going to be disappointed. I'm James Robinson. My wife, Betty, and I'm holding a book by Gabe Lyons, and we welcome Gabe. He's been here. And a matter of fact, go ahead and just tell Gabe Lyons. We're glad to have you. Gabe, you're really glad to be here. I'm really anxious to read some of your chapter titles in the next Christians here, because I really think you hit the nail on the head. Provoked, but not offended. You know, great peace have those that love thy word, and nothing shall offend them. You know, a lot of church folks stay offended all the time because they love religion, and they love their position, and they love their tradition, and they're easily offended. And provoked, that would mean stirred. I'm ready to respond in love, maybe. I want to find out. Creators, not critics. That doesn't mean you don't notice wrong. When you're not judgmental, it doesn't mean you don't have good judgment. It just means you're not judgmental. You're redemptive. You don't have a spirit of destruction. And see, I don't even know if this is what he's talking about, but I know what that says to me, so I'm going to find out. Aren't you curious? And then he says, called, not employed. You don't just work for somebody. You're a part of his body, under his covering, in his shelter, his shadow, piercing the darkness and serving. Amazing. Grounded, not distracted. In community, not alone. You know what I try to teach people? The world says you need connections. The Bible says you need connectedness. Mm. We need to connect to one another. Does it make sense?
Yes.
Is that okay for the below 35-year-olds?
Amen.
And then countercultural, not relevant. Wow. Tell me about The Next Christians. Great books in the bookstores. I like it. I'm reading. Tell me about it.
Well, I think this generation and all of us of any age is trying to figure out how to engage a world that no longer respects Christians as much and really has a pretty negative view of what a Christian is. And what I try to do is tell the stories and illustrate how this generation's engaging their world with the love of Jesus, but it looks a little different. It might be a little bit of a different shell than what most people have experienced of Christians. So I talk about being provoked instead of offended by sin or corruption in our world. Of course there's going to be sin in our world. Of course there's darkness. That's why the world needs light. And so to be provoked to engage that, to not worry about our reputations. Too many people are concerned about their reputations. They don't want to go somewhere where they might be seen, or go somewhere where their friends might look down on them for going there. They got to have courage. Instead of just remaining comfortable, we have to be provoked to have courage to go into some places where there's injustice.
Yeah, they wouldn't want to be sitting on the sofa of a Pharisee with a prostitute kneeling at their feet.
Yes.
That really can
damage
your reputation in a hurry.
Listen.
Jesus didn't seem to be too concerned about his reputation because he was concerned about their future their well-being, and he loved them. And this woman, this prostitute's weeping at his feet because she was in the presence of love. Mm. And really, if the Christians watching us, if the people who are watching us who say, I'm Christian, and who really, I think, want to be, and even the ones going down to church, you know, they're working really hard to go down there. I think they want to be. If they would actually become what you're talking about, and not just members of something, but really a part of this family, I think they would move comfortably, not in compromise, but would move comfortably in these places where they need to see the light.
That's right.
And that's what I hear you saying.
Yeah.
I think that's what you're saying.
It is what I'm saying. We're called to be salt and light, but you know, salt doesn't work unless it's attached to meat. You know, you gotta rub the salt in the steak to get the taste and the flavor out. We have to be in this world. We can't run from it. We can't try to separate and just hang out with our Christian friends. We've gotta be comfortable spending time with people who haven't decided to follow Jesus yet, because truly our model of loving them might be the only way that they come to know Jesus. You know, it's no different than, as you were saying, Jesus does this with Zacchaeus. I think of that story all the time where, you know, the religious figures of the day are offended by this guy Zacchaeus and can't imagine Jesus would spend time with him. But here Jesus invites himself over for dinner. The Pharisees are back there just judging and can't believe he's doing this. And not only does Jesus have dinner with them, but Jesus comes out and we see Zacchaeus absolutely transformed because Jesus was provoked to go engage and have one of the most intimate settings you could have in that culture, which was to have dinner with the sinner among sinners. I mean, and I think it's a good example of how we have to be provoked to see people differently, to not look down on people who look different than us, who have piercings or tattoos or dress different, or we don't understand them, and our tendency can be to just pick out the thing that's wrong with them and focus on that. Well, that's judgment. But grace is to look at people and see God's goodness in them and see the image of God trying to break through and knowing how to affirm that. And I think this Christian in this age who can do that is going to find themselves in a wealth of friendships and relationships with people around them because they've gotten good at pointing out where God's trying to break through in their life.
He talked about the piercings and the tattoos. Brian Welch, who's just nothing but a tattoo and all the piercings, and he's sitting here, and he just is incredible. I'm sure they cut you, see him on the screen there. And I remember Beth Moore, she's at home because she watches the program because she likes Life Today. And she said, I saw this guy sitting there, and I'm just going crazy. I can't believe you got this guy sitting there. And she said, in a few minutes, I'm crying because the love of God has done so much in his life. She said, would you believe the minute Life Today is off, I go to the first bookstore that's open, and I buy the book. She said, I came home and didn't put it down. I read every bit of it. Brian Welch was one of those kind of guys. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you, love of God is on him. It's just beautiful to see and how he loved his daughter and the beautiful things. We in the Christian world have really isolated ourselves from the very people God is waiting to love if we'd just give him the channel through which his love could flow. And man, I hear you saying the next Christians, you know, we might could just say the real Christians or the people who really understand what a Christian is, they're going to begin to do these things.
That's right. And instead of being critics, I mean, when we find things wrong in our world, no doubt we are, and we're called to stand up for what's right, what's just, what's good, what's true, what's beautiful. Those are the things Christians should represent, and our world's not always like that. But instead of condemning the world for that, critiquing people who haven't necessarily signed up to follow Jesus the way we have, I find in the next Christians or the real Christians that they have the ability to create in the midst of that, to create ways that people can work towards fighting that injustice. They don't just critique it and sit back and offer thoughts on it. They do something about it the way you do something about it.
Well, we have to ask God to give us the wisdom to be creative like that, because God's not going to run out of ways for us to be effective for His kingdom.
That's right.
And to really be able to express His love. He's very creative. So if we'll just leave our hearts open, no matter what age we are.
That's right.
You know, we've got 11 grandchildren, and I'm always trying to figure out ways that, you know, we can communicate with them because they're teenagers, most of them. And technology has really gone past us. But I find myself texting or, you know, communicating the ways that they would do it because I get a quick response from them if I'm in their world, so to speak.
Right.
To be able to communicate, that's important to me. Mm-hmm. And I think we should be as determined to be effective when we're trying to be an example for Jesus.
And I hear you trying to teach us. I mean, you're trying to teach us. I mean, we want to be a help to you anywhere we can. But what I see, and this is what really is great in the next Christian, let me tell you what he does. He gets back here toward the end of the book, and he begins to tell you all the different things people do and what might be considered a very unique and creative way of literally piercing the darkness, bringing light in. That light begins to illuminate maybe the error of somebody's ways without you being accusing. The light exposes that which needs to be adjusted. It also reveals the way in which we need to walk. And the problem, most church folks walk around with some covering over them. They got this Catholic covering, this Baptist covering. It's funny how we wear all these different kind of hats to look more religious or different kind of ways. We even get to where we're looking like each other, like cookie cutters. We all look the same, but we don't look much like Christ, this God of diversity. And what he's showing you is how people have penetrated the business place, they penetrated the arts, they penetrated media, and not condemned it, they've penetrated it by becoming an effective part of it. You know, when I think about, let's just say, the incredible potential of Hollywood for good, you take Schindler's List. What kind of a wonderful message did that incredible movie reveal about love for somebody else and wanting to do something? You know, that's the Corrie ten Boom story told over and over, so to speak. That's the love of God. But you tell story after story of young people and individuals literally piercing the darkness and planting themselves in the midst of this situation. They're incredible true life stories.
Yeah, I think of one story, a guy named Jamie Turkowski, who started something called To Write Love on Her Arms. And it's just a perfect story. Here's a guy who's working in a surf shop down in Orlando, Florida, in that area. And he has friends, and one of his friends gets caught up in an addiction. And this particular addiction leads to cutting, as you know, some teenagers and people in depression struggle with. And so she had carved into her arm a horrible word just to say what she thought about herself. And in the midst of that, him and his friends, who were Christians, just rushed to her side and basically loved her. And in the process of loving her and trying to take her to a rehabilitation clinic that wouldn't accept her because she was too bad of a case, they spent 3 and 4 days with her just throughout the night, just being, as he describes, being her church, loving her right where she was at. And over time, she gets into a rehabilitation clinic. And she gets better, but the real point of the story is he started selling these T-shirts called To Write Love on Her Arms to make money so she could go through that process. Well, the movement just starts, and rock stars start catching on that, hey, talking about love's a good thing. And so they start inviting him to their rock shows, and he shows up on stage talking about love. And then on and on, this all of a sudden, this shirt ends up being the number one selling shirt in these stores called Hot Topic in the mall, where it's a big T-shirt shop where all these teenagers are shopping. And here you go, the love of Christ, where he tells the story on the inside of the shirt of the love of Jesus that's showing up in her life. I mean, there's a story after story of when we just put on, like you said, that lens of creativity and say, look, my response as a follower of Jesus is to go into this person's life and not only help them, but think, who else is struggling from this and how else can I help even more people who might be struggling from this and push back the evil that would otherwise overwhelm our creation if we don't stand with Christ to do that.
And what I believe you are really trying to show the younger generation and us in the older, let's say, part of the population today, you're trying to show us effective ways of, let's say, making what I call God's imprint on the whole culture.
Yes.
On the media, journalism, the academics, every part of it. I don't see you leaving any stone unturned, so to speak. And you believe people don't stand back, analyze, criticize, and accuse, but they get in there in the midst of the pain and the need and reveal him.
That's right. They rush in. They see a problem and rush towards it. But they don't always have to leave their jobs to do this. I think that's one of the things I talk about in this chapter called Called, Not Employed. It's not that we shouldn't have jobs, but we should think about our mission many times as being the place we already are. Yeah. We don't have to leave this place that we're spending 40, 50 hours of our week and go do ministry somewhere over here. In fact, we just need to have a holy imagination to understand what's the love of Jesus look like in my workplace or in my school. For the teacher, right, who's teaching students and working with families every day, that's a full ministry right there of loving on kids, loving on families, educating, tutoring them. I mean, all of that in and of itself is a great ministry of restoration and helping people learn and be educated. All the way to the person in media or in the music business who's writing music and trying to perform music in a way to a world that isn't just a Christian group of people watching, but people who aren't Christian but need to hear truth. And they're only going to hear it through music. And so they go and write songs and perform music and they use their gifts, whatever their talents and their gifts are, they take that and combine it with the burden God's put in their heart. And where those two things intersect, I think that's where we find calling. And I think that's where the body of Christ comes to life. And I think what this book does is give language for the grandparents and the parents to know how to talk to their children, because their children, in many cases, that are leaving the church are rejecting the church because they don't have a language, they don't have a way of talking to their parents about the sense that they have where they love Jesus, they love God, but they just can't function within the religious environment that maybe has been created
for them. I can't either. Yeah. I mean, really and truly, I love what something Charles Stanley said years ago. He said, I don't know, Andy Stanley, his son's a good friend of yours, and great, they're great folks. But Charles said, I asked God, said, why do so many people not like to go to church? And God said, I don't like to go much myself. The thing is, it's because we've left him out so much. I mean, it's just, it's too bad. We got a lot of religion, and I mean, really and truly, the churches, if they would invite the presence of the Lord in, he'll change them. He'll restore them to stability. Yeah. You know, you talk about being creative and not being critics. Touch on that a minute.
Well, listen, I mean, a personal story for my wife and I. Our son was born back 10 years ago and was diagnosed with Down syndrome. That was a shock to us, a surprise. I'd grown up in an environment where abortion was something I understood to be completely wrong. And when I did the research on Down syndrome, I realized 9 out of 10 of these children are terminated when the mother and father or one or both know in advance through prenatal testing. 9 out of 10. So I had a couple of options. One was to respond and just go hang a sign around my neck and go stand in front of abortion clinics or vote pro-life. Again, I'm not saying neither one of those are great things. They are. But I needed to be more creative than that. I needed to get involved. And so with our community, we worked together and basically decided we need to tell the story of life with a child with Down syndrome and the stories of these beautiful children, which many of us know or have some connection to somebody with Down syndrome, but their story's not told on WebMD. People would go Google and they would see that your life's going to be horrible if you have a child like this. It's better for you, it's better for them if they're not in this world. That was the story being told. It was a lie. And so we said, we got to tell the truth. And so we went out, got a great photographer, a lot of families, and we have pictures now in this booklet that we created called Understanding. Yeah. It's called Understanding a Down Syndrome Diagnosis. And in this book, we show the story of everything from infants reading together, brothers and sisters hanging out together, kids skateboarding on the street with their neighbor friends, all the way to a lady doing ballet and also working out in the medical field. And we got these delivered when we lived in Atlanta. We took them to every doctor's office, OBGYN, geneticist office, and they started using them and giving this out to parents.
Absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm.
And then we just found out this fall, this was amazing, was that the National Association for OBGYNs had just decided that this booklet's going to be the booklet that they want out there to every doctor's office, every one of them.
Can our viewers get it? How would they go online to get it? Or can we get it? And what do we do? Because
yes.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. The website where these booklets are at is called lettercase.org. And there, these books are available for anybody. But it's just, that's an example of creating instead of criticizing, right? It was just using my gifts and storytelling and photographers. You know, that's what we're talking about, is Christians showing up everywhere we see corruption overflowing in our world, and not just talking about how bad this world is, but saying let's be a part of displaying for people what the kingdom of God might look like when it shows up.
Can I tell you that I have, and I want to thank you for doing that, because in a way, you know, we lost a little grandchild that was stillborn and had a little funeral, a little wicker basket around Christmas time years ago, little baby Matthew. But all of our grandchildren are beautifully healthy, and our children. But I've never seen a Down syndrome child that I didn't just immediately love. And I can tell you this, Gabe, many times I've looked at Down syndrome children. I don't know if my discernment is exactly right. But I prayed many times, Lord, I see an innocence there. I see a beauty in their innocence that I pray on me. I've said that. I'd probably love to have the discussion more about what you see that's so unique about them. But this is a beautiful thing you've done. I want you to know that you and I are just getting to know each other, but I want you to help me know him better. And together, let's help everybody know him. Help people who know him know how to share him in a way that people would want to know him. And I just thank you so much. Would you just join us thanking Gabe? Been a real blessing to us. The Next Christian, it's in the bookstores. There's his website. They have a group meeting of young people, leaders who want to ask questions called Q. I told him I would go anytime he ever wants me to do anything for him. He just find a way where it works with what I'm able to do schedule-wise. I plant myself in the middle of confusion, chaos, curiosity, analysis, or critique, or whatever they want to say. And let me tell you something. I would hope they would go way better because of our exchange. I know I will. I know I'll be shaped by the process. So, Gabe, I'm available to you. What we have is available to you. And just thank you for sharing what God's put on your heart. To all of you who watch, let me show you something that I'm extremely comfortable doing. I want to show you an incredible need you can meet. It's not wishful thinking. And I really request that you not try to find something else to do because you say, I bet James is going to ask me to help somebody. I'm going to ask you to give somebody a chance, and I want you to look at these little faces. I'm going to get you to look at them real close. I promise you God's looking at them. He's looking at some eyes here that'll notice them, and somebody will do what he wants to do. Watch.
We need to save these children. There is a desperate need here. These children are dying because they have no food. There are children all around here that do not get food every day. These children are severely malnourished. There's something we have to do or we will lose more children. There's a solution to their problems, and for me it just seemed really, really simple. Food in a little bowl. Mission Feeding, this is where life begins. God bless you.
Well, more than 20 years ago, Betty and I started going where they were dying by the tens of thousands. We started pouring that, we like to call it porridge. It's a soup mixture, but it's scientifically designed for the nutritional needs in particular areas by really devoted missionaries. But we poured it, and many places we went in the initial stages of our mission outreach, soup barrels would be empty, would run out. And there wasn't a calm. There was panic, and the little children trying to get down in the barrel and scrape it. And you said a very important prayer, and you repeated it, what you prayed. I pray that the lines to give the soup, the food, will be longer than the lines to get it. And Betty, for so many years, God's answered that prayer until millions of lives have been saved, millions. But right now, those children are very needy, and we're also trying to establish feeding where the kids are strong enough to go to school, where we can feed them on a regular basis to be sure they keep going. We're doing everything we can to stabilize the situation. Those are precious little children. And I'm asking you to be an answer to Betty's prayer, that the line to feed them and help them will be longer than the line of need. If you'll dial that number, and we do this twice a year, we ask you to help feed children for several months. And a gift of 30, 50, or 100 will feed 3, 5, or 10 children. This is not total child care. This is stabilizing their diet, in many instances saving their lives, and supplying the resources for the malnutrition clinics where they won't make it if they don't get there when they get to the final stages. And we're asking you to supply all of the food and the nutrition. If you just dial that number, take your bank card, this is probably the best way you'll ever use it, to give life, and you use it like a check. If you write a check, make it to Life. But now listen to me, if you want to go online, you can go to lifetoday.org, indicate I want to donate, I want to make a gift, and you can make the gift right now, but I'm asking you to do it today. Because the missionaries literally need to know, we use all that you have enabled us to have in the last several months. Now we're asking you to take care of this next period. And Betty and I are continually asking people to help. We'll do it through many other areas where we talk to people, but nothing like this. This is the critical need. This is where you say, I'll take 10. Or maybe you can take 100. Maybe you could make a gift of $1,000 or more. But you remember, for 3 children, $30 is the difference. 50 for 5 or 100 for 10. We want to send you God's kingdom in you, which you're expressing His kingdom right here in this gift. You're sharing life. Would you dial the number? Now, by the way, if you get busy, be determined. Look, I've got to help them. And you get through and you make the gift God puts on your heart. Just do the best you can. We're going to bless you, but you're going to be blessed when you give life. Thank you for making that call.
At this very moment, a child is drawing her last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like her throughout Africa face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can save a life. Life's mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 500,000 children throughout remote areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. With previous food reserves gone and Southern Africa facing its worst conditions and food shortage in more than two decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies for the feeding programs immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the God's Kingdom in You audio series and companion scripture guide. James and Betty Robison, along with Beth Moore, inspire you to live every day in the power and presence of God. With your gift of $125 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request both the video DVD and audio series with scripture guide. As a bonus, we'll also send you Jim Hilton's new book, The Supernatural Skyline. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help save the lives of 100 children, and be sure to request the beautiful new Heart of the Father bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online.
These children are severely malnourished. You can see the signs all around you, visibly see them. You can visibly touch them tangibly. There's something that we can do today to change everything for these children. I believe it. We have a chance. We are set up. We have a chance to come into this village, into this community, and feed thousands of children every single day. Life Outreach Mission Feeding Program can do just that. Why don't you consider partnering with me today? It is a ministry. It's a program you can trust. Believe me when I say this. I've seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes. So pray about that today. If God is speaking to you right now, go to the phone. Go to the phone and make that call that could change the life of a little child today.
We really are anxious to send you God's Kingdom in You, because I'm telling you now, the Lord is, you know, I've been preaching nearly 50 years, but I'm like a kid always learning. I'm sitting at Jesus' feet. I'm listening. And boy, what I've come to see about the kingdom, it's revolutionary. This is spiritual gravity. Keeps things in place according to God. We'll gladly, if you'll help us, you'd like to have the next Christians, it's in the bookstores. You may just want to run out and get it right now. And I encourage you to. We're glad to send it to you if you just help us give life to these children. We want to say thanks to Gabe. Would you join us here in thanking Gabe, man? Thank you, Gabe.
Thank you.
You go to our website, lifetoday.org. We'll tell you how to find all of his websites, find out where he's going to have the pew, the meetings. Thank you for watching.
There just simply is no way to fool God. He is not, I mean, he's on to our bull. Anybody? I mean, he's on to it.
Beth Moore, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.